proclaimed the message of Jesus died and risen from the dead. Do you remember Pope John Paul II, the Polish Pope? He used to say, "We are an Easter people, and hallelujah is our song." Lovely saying. I think he nicked it from St. Augustine, but a lovely motto. We are an Easter people, and hallelujah is our song. And I think that's the story of the Acts of the Apostles. In the Acts of the Apostles, there are over 20 speeches and sermons recorded, most of them from Peter and Paul, but a few from others like James and Stephen and so on. And here, Paul is in Athens, the capital of Greece, and he's kicking his heels, waiting for his friends to arrive. And so he starts off by doing what he does every Sabbath, going to the Jewish synagogue. But also, as well as that, he goes to the marketplace and he tells the story of Jesus and his death and resurrection in the marketplace. And the Athenians there in the marketplace, they are fascinated, intrigued by what he has to tell them. And so they take him to their sort of town hall, council chamber and court of appeal all combined. It was a sort of rocky hill in Athens called the Areopagus, difficult word, I know. But they took him there and they said, "Tell us officially this message that you have to bring." And so we have recorded by Luke roughly what Paul said to them. And I think there are some lessons that we can learn. First lesson, I think, is don't sit around and wait for people to come to you. Go to where the people are. That's what Paul did, isn't it? He went to the synagogue, the marketplace, and the Areopagus. In Mark's day, what would that be? Well, the car boot sale. There's loads of people there, aren't there? The shops, of course, you know, the post office and the food court and all those places. The railway station. We were amazed when we were down there handing out leaflets for the fete, how many people there are using the railway station every day. The parish hall, lots and lots of groups meeting there. The school, of course, we do go to already. Lots and lots of contacts at the school gate and so on, parents and children. The Red Lion, well, we could cope with going there occasionally, couldn't we? We seem to manage that. Again, lots of people go to the Red Lion as a sort of community place. And of course, Poplars and other places around Mark's Tay. Go to where the people are. Because it's difficult these days for people to come down the lane and into this building. It's easier for us to go out and take the gospel to them. And when you do that, notice things. Notice where they are. If you're visiting someone at home, notice the garden. Jane and I have been out visiting this week, seeing some of the people who expressed interest during the TFM team's time here. And some of them, you notice, they spend a lot of time on their garden. So it's a good opening line to say, lovely roses over the doorway. Lovely, nicely kept lawns you have. Or children's toys around. Talk about that. It's a point of contact. Hobbies, books, ornaments, pictures. Notice what's around you. Paul said in Athens, he said to the people, "I walked around and I looked carefully." He noticed what was around him in Athens. And from that, he picked up something of what was important to them. He listened, in other words, to the messages, to the people, to their culture. He might even have asked about them and understood their viewpoint and their outlook on life. "As I walked around," he said, "I saw this inscription, 'To an unknown God.'" He took notice of what was there. And I think to do that is important, to earn the right to speak. I think we all know, don't we, that if somebody comes to us and barrels in straight away with their agenda and their story and what they want to say, then we think, whoa, hold on, slow down. It's much better, isn't it, if they ask you questions. What's life like for you? How do you feel at the moment? What's important to you? And then, if you like, the conversation has begun on a better foot. Paul actually talked to them as some of your own poets have said, we are his offspring. He'd read the poets of Athens. So he'd not only seen the inscriptions, he'd read their literature and thought about what was important to them. Bishop Stephen told us that's one way to connect with the people in our community. And as you do that, don't just listen to people, listen also to God. Listen to what God is telling you. And ask God to give you some entry, some way to bring in the good news of Jesus Christ. I'm sure as Paul walked around Athens, he was asking God to show him a way to connect these people with the gospel. And I'm sure there would have come a moment when he thought, aha, light's dawned. So he says, now, to an unknown God, now what you worship as unknown, I am going to proclaim to you. That was his way in, if you like. What you worship as unknown, the unknown God, I'm going to proclaim to you. He'd recognized that their unknown God could be proclaimed to them. And he spoke it boldly. I am going to proclaim to you. Now, TFM were bold, weren't they? I admired them for that. Some people didn't like it, that they were a bit in your face and a strong message. Maybe occasionally they behaved insensitively, but it may be simply because there are always some who will be offended by the gospel and reject it. Jesus, after all, proclaimed the gospel perfectly, didn't he? With sensitivity and everything. And still, some people were offended, even at Jesus. So if it happened to Jesus, it's bound to happen to us, isn't it? In verse 20, Paul says, God commands all people everywhere to repent. He was bold, wasn't he? Notice, he's not insulting them. He's not being rude to them in any way. But he's not watering it down either. He was polite, but he was firm and clear. So I think in our follow-up, we should continue to speak the word boldly. It's very tempting, isn't it, sometimes to back off, to be rather British about it all, and let people off making a decision. But in Scripture, we're actually warned that those who've once heard the gospel are actually in greater danger if they then reject Christ. They've heard more of the revelation of God, and they're in greater danger. They have greater responsibility, if you like. Those who accept God, of course, are saved, but those who reject him are in an even worse position than if they hadn't heard. Another tip, use their language. Paul put it like this, the God who made the world and everything in it is the Lord of heaven and earth and does not live in temples made by human hands. Notice, Paul doesn't presume that they knew anything about the Jewish Old Testament. If he was speaking to Jews, he'd probably start with Abraham and Moses and some of the Old Testament laws and so on. But here, he starts in the Greek tradition of observing the world around and then drawing conclusions from reason and philosophy. He does it the Greek way. He speaks their language and uses their methods. Now, with every year that passes, that's true in our culture too. People know less and less about Jesus, less and less about the Bible and the stories within it. So I think it's important for us to speak the language that people understand, not to chatter away with all the long words that we find in our Bible, but to tell people in words that they can grasp. Listen to them and use the language that speaks to them. And lastly, the focus is on Jesus, on his death and resurrection. I know Paul starts by telling the big story of God making mankind so that they would seek him and perhaps reach out to him and find him. But he concludes, now God commands all people everywhere to repent, for he's set a day when he will judge the world with justice by the man he's appointed, and he's given proof of this to everyone by raising him from the dead. That's his punchline, if you like, the resurrection from the dead. And then the bit that Sue went on to read at the end. Some sneered, others wanted to know more, and a few believed. Now that's exactly the mix of responses that we find today, last week, for instance, with the TFM team. And that's not wrong. It's right and it's normal. Some sneered, others wanted to hear more, and a few believed. Now, we're not Jesus, I know that. We're not even the Apostle Paul. But we are witnesses to Jesus Christ today. And we can take some tips from this story of Paul in Athens. And I think the people of Mark Tay deserve to know the good news of salvation. And maybe you and I are the only Christians that they have contact with. So we have a responsibility, I think, to speak when it's appropriate, when they ask questions, and when the opportunity comes. Let's not hide the gospel from people. Let's not be too shy. Jesus wasn't shy to speak out. Let us continue to speak of Jesus when the opportunity arises and when God calls us to do so. Let's just bow our heads for a moment. Lord, sometimes we're tentative about speaking out for you and telling the good news and the gospel story. But we pray that you would encourage us, prompt us, and fill us with courage and boldness to speak appropriately and courteously and politely, but clearly and firmly of you. In Jesus' name, amen.